Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 73.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 73 of a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, a big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, a trailer, even if you just dry camp out of your car or tent and are thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about being out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, and sharing tips and keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and tech to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast, is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations across America. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. And Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the show, coming to you now on February 3rd. That's our release date of 2016. I'm Mike Wendlin, and we are so glad you're with us today. Lots of interesting things. You know, one thing we all need, no matter what size RV we have, is organizational and space-saving skills. And in this episode of the podcast, we're going to hear from the lady who is officially known as the RV Space Saver. And her name is Gail Alexander. If you've ever attended an RV rally, chances are you've run into Gail. She does seminars all across the U.S. on ways to organize and maximize storage and save space. So you're going to get lots of information from her interview coming up just a little later on in the program. Also in this episode, some traveling tech apps that you will definitely want to have with you on your next RV trip. We've got the RV news of the week and much, much more. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, here it is, February already. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
And this means it's time. We've been doing a lot of thinking about where we want to go this year, what we want to do, and so many places, and only 11 months left.
Oh, you know, but it's fun to think about all the opportunities, all the places that are out there. Your imagination goes crazy.
And we've got, you know, like three things that we know of. I'm going to share a little bit of news, a preview about two of the things that are coming up. But the first is, and we'll talk about, I'm going to talk about this a little later on when I answer a question, but we'll be in Perry, Georgia on February 17th. I am looking forward to meeting a lot of our listeners there at the FMCA family reunion. Lots of people coming there. That's going to be fun.
And I'm looking forward to going back to Perry, Georgia. We stopped there unexpectedly and spent the night there, and we enjoyed it. We
a delightful day,
found
wasn't
a little restaurant. That
don't tell anybody, it'll get all filled
restaurant
up.
I mean, no. That restaurant's worth going to Perry, Georgia for.
Don't tell anybody about it. Then we won't be able to get in.
Lined up out in the street.
Quiet. You're giving a good thing. Actually, we did write about it. You can search the blog under Perry, Georgia. So that's in, and we'll talk about that later. That's on March 17th. But we're thinking maybe we want to go up and do one more bout of winter camping in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, that we should do that before winter ends, because, I mean, the seasons are flying by.
Now, we haven't had a lot of snow, at least down here where we live in southeastern Michigan, but they're getting a lot up north, and it's just really fun to see the snow. So I think we'll probably go up for a weekend and do some of that between
we
now and...
We need to see snow one more time.
Between the end of February.
A lot of snow one more time.
And then we decided to really appreciate it. We want to go to Florida. Down around, we love the Everglades, so we want to go there. I'm going to miss the python hunt, though.
Maybe next year. I hope it works out for next year.
I've got a news item. They've got a lot of pythons. They had a little cold snap, and so all the pythons were out there sunning themselves, trying to get warm, and the hunters could find them easier.
Good. I'm very glad that happened.
The only good python is a dead one, but... So that's coming up, and we'll probably do Florida. And now here's two items that we can kind of tease that we're really excited about. Last year we did our Beartooth Mountains photo safari, boondocking photo safari. And we met a lot of people that came from all over the country. And that was really great. This year, we're going to try and do a couple of different ones. We're going to do one in a different part of the country so we can attract folks from perhaps more eastern states. And that is going to be in mid to late June in the Great Smoky Mountains.
And we've been there once, and I look forward to going back.
Oh, my gosh, that's going to be good. So that's going to be kind of a boondocking photo safari. And we hope to have lots of guest photographers on to help us learn to take photos better. We're going to do some hiking. There's some great waterfalls there, just some beautiful vistas. So I'm excited about that.
And that one will fill up quickly, just like the other one did.
Yeah. And then our pal Jan Seiner has a big gathering that he does every year, a boondocking gathering out in Oregon. And that's in August. And then here's a brand new one that we're adding to our repertoire. And that is going to be in one of our favorite places anywhere, the Porcupine Mountains of Michigan's Western Upper Peninsula.
And that opens up the door for a lot of other folks. Not that long of a drive for them to get there.
Yep. And that's going to be probably early October. Early October, right during the color time. And we love that area. Some incredible wilderness there, great hiking. It's right out where the campground we're going to be at will be right on Lake Superior. It's a wild river there, some great trails to hike and lots of photos to take. So those are all coming. But then we have to figure out what our big trip this year is going to be. I still am being teased by the idea of Alaska, but that is a big trip.
That's a lot of driving.
Yeah, but you're camping the whole way, and it's great fun. Every place you go is an adventure. Every stop you stay. And we would only go, I would stick to my rule, 330 miles or 3:30 in the afternoon.
I've heard that before.
Well, I'm serious. Well, hey, folks out there, work with me on this, and we'll convince Jennifer yet. If not this year,
next
year.
Somebody going to send us some marriage counselors or something to work on this.
Maybe. I want to go to Alaska. All right. Well, that's where we have been, and we're still thinking a whole bunch about all the places we can go and the things we can do. I bet you are, too, and hopefully you'll get some ideas from this podcast and all that. But right now, it's time for Jennifer to get to work with her tip of the week.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
I've had several emails from listeners of this podcast who want to know some simple recipes they can make ahead of time and take on their RV trips so when they stop, they can have a nice meal really fast without a lot of fuss and mess. I'm not a gourmet cook. I like simple. I like it easy. So my tip is to find a small crock pot for your RV that fits into the sink. You'll have to do some measuring, but we found that a 4-quart size works best for us. The one we got a few years ago cost less than $20 and was made by Rival, but it doesn't seem to be available anymore. So we made an Amazon page that lists a whole bunch of crock pots you can look at. We'll link to it on the show notes for this episode. We found that a round one fits best, not the oval shape. You'll need to measure the size of your sink and then find one that fits your RV. Why the sink? Because you can put the crock pot in the sink and not worry about it falling off as you drive. You'll need your inverter on, of course, but you can start your crock pot meal in the morning and leave it cooking as you drive. Then, when you stop in the afternoon, you have a delicious meal just waiting for you. Something else we like to do is prepare some easy meals ahead of time. Our favorite is salsa chicken. That is just so easy to make. It's easy to prepare right in the RV, but as we often do before setting off on a long trip, we like to make several meals ahead of time that we can put in the Road Trek's freezer and then bring out when we want. Salsa chicken consists of chicken breast and salsa. That's it. First, you pound down the chicken, make it flat. That helps tenderize it and makes it easier to cook. It cooks really fast. Then I place the chicken in the saucepan, and then I put the salsa on top of the chicken and just let it cook. We use the sugar-free chunky style that you can get at Whole Foods, But you can use any kind of salsa that you want. Then occasionally stirring and turning the chicken, let the salsa come to a boil, and then have it simmer as the chicken cooks in the salsa for about 20, 25 minutes. We make a double batch, two large chicken breasts, and a full container of salsa. That's enough to serve the two of us twice. We like to serve it with long grain brown rice, a side salad, and maybe some broccoli. Pretty simple, huh? So give it a try. Crockpot meals as you drive. Make ahead salsa chicken for your RV fridge, and I hope you enjoy. You can see pictures, a video that links to all this at roadtrekking.com/73.
Questions.
You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
And this question comes to us from Carol Snyder. Carol and her husband Gary were part of our recent Taquamadon Falls Upper Peninsula camp in, and had a great time, got a chance to meet them, and had a nice time too. But they follow up with a note, and she says the following. She says, Mike, we normally spend a lot of time in Michigan during the other three seasons of the year, especially around Crystal Lake and Sleeping Bear Dunes. That's up in northwestern Michigan, folks. And by the way, absolutely stunning scenery. If you've never been there, make sure you visit. Anyway, Carol goes on to write. She says, we're thinking about packing up and going on a long weekend soon, but remember reading in a recent newsletter that you had trouble finding a place to stay up there in the wintertime in your road trek. Any hints or suggestions? Yes, I do, Carol. The one park I know that is open all year round up that way is in Traverse City, Michigan. The Traverse City State Park, they have heated restrooms and, of course, electrical hookups. And it's, you know, Traverse City is a great area, lots of good restaurants. It's right on Grand Traverse Bay, and you'll enjoy it much. So it's a great spot to stay, and it is open in the wintertime, which is sometimes hard to find in northern states. So enjoy that. And Carol goes on to ask this. She says, Mike, we recently joined the Family Motor Coach Association, and they just sent us a humongous Lexan placard. Have you found a way to display this thing without defacing your coach? I thought I saw suction cups available as an accessory, but wondered if this is secure for travel. Perhaps it's possible to just put it on the coach at rallies or when you're parked. Obviously, we have more questions than answers. Any suggestions appreciated. Well, you know, I'm also obviously a member of the Family Motor Coach Association. I'm proud to say I'm also their unofficial, or I guess their official, on-the-road reporter. I write a monthly column for Family Motor Coach magazine and very active. We go to many of their rallies and do seminars as well. So I proudly display my FMCA placard. And the way I have done it, I've actually fixed a couple of things to the back of my road truck. I use industrial strength hook and loop tape. Now, I'll put a link to the ones I got, and it's from Amazon. It's about $25, and you get a big box of it, so you can use a lot of it. It has proudly held my FMCA membership plaque in the back of my road truck for years. I also have a wireless thermometer. The receiver is out there on the back so I can get an indoor reading of the outdoor temperature, and I fix that with the same stuff. Sometimes if they get a lot of dust, I check it out, and if it's a little dusty and it looks a little loose, I just take it off and put new stuff on. So that has been really handy to use, and I use it for other stuff inside the coach as well. I have a clock, for example, a big clock with that indoor-outdoor temperature, and I fix that to the side of our road track towards the back, and I use that same industrial strength hook and loop tape. It's about 2 inches wide, and you know, it's got adhesive on one end, and that'll stick on the surface that you want, and then the other end sticks on whatever it is you're trying to adhere to it, and you just get that hook and loop ball lined up, push it in there, and it's pretty darn solid. I've had that clock up a couple of years now, and you know, lots and lots of miles on lots and lots of roads, many of them very bumpy, and it stayed up fine, as has the placard. So that will help you out. Hope you enjoy that, Carol, and good luck. We'll enjoy your winter camping up there at Traverse City. We're actually thinking about going up there in about a week or two as well, so maybe we'll run into you. Here's an email that comes in from Ian, and he says, Mike, please talk about driving in ice and snow. How does the road track handle in those conditions? Do you use snow tires, chains? Our road track, a 190 Popular 2010, is only two-wheel rear drive rear wheel drive, so we're cautious in any icy road conditions. Well, Ian lives in the West North Carolina mountains, so you do need something to be a little careful of. Ice is the biggest problem of any kind of vehicle, but I've never put snow tires on. Don't need to. I've never had to put chains on. Now, we have a Sprinter-based our motor coach, a little Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. And I just came back from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. There was lots of snow up there. And there was I've been caught in other years on our travels and whiteouts. We've driven on snow-covered roads. I've never needed ice or snow traction extra on my vehicle. One, it has a lot of weight, and it works just fine. Some people I know in mountainous areas do need chains to go up those mountains. So I don't know in your area, Ian, if that's the case. But in general, just be very cautious when you're driving, particularly on ice. And, you know, go for it. I have not needed one. And I don't know anybody that does need snow tires or chains or any of that precautions. These road treks are great. I've got a video up on the blog. If you just do a search on roadtrekking.com under winter RVing, you'll come up with one of them I did. I actually recorded it while we were driving in a whiteout and noted how it behaved, and you get to actually see it and what kind of conditions it was in. So it worked out real well for us. So good luck to you, Ian. Thank you for writing it. One more. Dan Darnelli writes, hi, Mike and Jennifer. Love your podcast. Listen every week. Thank you. I am new to the RV life, having just purchased my new 24-foot Arctic Fox travel trailer in September. I'm planning a trip to the Grand Teton, Yellowstone, and Glacier in September. And my question is, knowing you have a Verizon Jetpack and a WeBoost, that's a cell phone booster, folks, did you have a usable signal in these three parks to take advantage of the Jetpack? And did the WeBoost help? Well, Dan, I know those three areas very well. We go to them every year. And yes, I'm able to. That's one of the reasons we have picked Verizon. I should note that Verizon is the official technology supplier for the Road Trekking RV podcast. They have and they sponsor this podcast. You'll hear them coming up in just a little bit. But we've never had a problem. However, I need to tell you that these are wilderness parks, and Glacier especially is mountainous. Yellowstone is true wilderness, and the Tetons not so much, because you're close to Jackson Hole. Depends on what side you camp on, I guess I should say that. But most of you are camping on the Wyoming area of it, so it's pretty. There's pretty good cell phone coverage all over the place there. The WeBoost, the cell phone booster, has helped me in Yellowstone. In fact, that is where I first found out about it. We were at a camp up north of Hayden Valley. And I had no signal at all. And I ran into a couple of researchers, wolf researchers, actually, and I saw them making phone calls from their car. And they were the one who had that little cell phone booster. And so I was very impressed with it and picked it up. And indeed, it did help me. I actually picked up a signal in that campground. You will find there are many places in Yellowstone where you do not have a signal because of its remoteness, because of mountains in the way. But generally, I have never gone more than a couple hours or a couple of, 10, 20 miles without being able to pick up a signal. So that's for Yellowstone. Glacier's another matter, because Glacier's a huge park and there's a massive mountains right in the middle of it as you go up Logan Pass and then come down. On either flank of those mountains, you'll find your cell phone coverage is great. But as you climb the mountains, they start to fade. And you may not have coverage as you're way up in the top of the mountains, but once you're down in the campgrounds, you should be okay. And that WeBoost cell booster has really helped me a lot. I've had no problems. So I hope that answers your question. But, I'll be aware that that's one of the reasons I'm an amateur radio operator, and I always have a ham radio with me because I can get out to any place, anytime with that. But generally speaking, I would say 97% of our travels, I have never been without cell phone coverage pretty much anywhere. So give it a try. Hope you enjoy it. And maybe we'll see you out there, because I will be at all three parks this year. So that's our favorite. We love to do Grand Teton, and then we go up to Yellowstone, or we'll do Yellowstone and come down to Grand Teton. But this year, I think I'll do Grand Teton, then Yellowstone, and then up to Glacier. And who knows if I can talk Jennifer into it too, maybe the Canadian Rockies and beyond. But we'll see. That's a long trip. But you'll do fine with Verizon. Verizon, I have found, is the only truly reliable everywhere 4G LTE signal. And that's what I use. I know I have done the blog every day. I do videos with it. I do my NBC reports and I send it in and all that comes through Verizon. So you should be fine with that system. Well, those are our questions. I took them all by email this week. Normally, we have voicemail questions, but sometimes the email questions pile up, and I thought I'd take care of them. If you have a question, you can email it to us. You can just go to roadtrekking.com, and there's a contact link up at the top of the blog that will open up a little form, and you can email me your question. Or the way I prefer, because I love to hear your voices and make you a part of the show, is you can just leave me a recording of your question. Here's how.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment.
Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas. Three dealerships in this family, and all of them bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. All three of them have this terrific fly and drive program. They'll literally, you make your deal with them, and then you fly in to pick up your unit. They'll pick you up at the airport. They'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then they'll take you to the dealership and they'll go over everything with you. It'll be fully prepped for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Dan the Van Man from Van City RV offers up this week's specials.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I got a great special for you this week. We have a 2008 Road Trek 210 Popular. White with the silver accent. Great condition. Well-maintained. Ready to go. You can give us a call at 1-800-467-3905. Or check it out at vancityrv.com. We also got some great new product in, like the new Chinooks. You can check those out at the website also. And give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking News of the Week.
Well, it's kind of an update on a story I told you I really, really, really wanted to go cover in person down in the Florida Everglades. You know what's been going on down there. They are totally infested with an invasive species that is, well, it'll make you go yuck. We're talking about pythons, massive, huge snakes. Nobody knows quite how they got there. They're thinking that after Katrina and maybe some of the hurricanes that went through, not Katrina, I don't know which one hit Florida that did this, but after a recent hurricane came through, somebody had these pet pythons and they got loose and they started to breed. They have no predator. And so these Burmese pythons, which can get 20 feet long, are all over the place in the Everglades. And so Florida officials have been trying to figure out ways to do it. This year, they did this a couple of years ago and had some success. And now they're doing another one called the Python Roundup. And they have caught, as of now, 61 of these pythons. And they say they expect a lot more. It's been kind of cool down there. And lots of the python hunters have been getting some training. This is a month-long python challenge, they call it, and it ends February 14th, the last public hunt that they did for this about 3 years ago in 2013, netted 68 of the snakes, and the longest one was over 14 feet long. So far, with still a couple weeks to go, they've had 61 of them caught, and that's pretty amazing. They said that probably the success was they had a little cold snap right when the hunt started, and that kind of drove the snakes into the open seeking warmth, so they were a little easier to find. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says that they've been catching them, and we'll try and keep an update. Snakes are caught, and then they're killed. I mean, these snakes have no use at all, and they're turned over to researchers who are trying to find out ways that they can then control the python population in the Everglades. I talked to a woman last year when I was down there who lived on Marco Island, which is like this, you know, upscale island near Naples, not too far from the Everglades, but far enough. And I mean, it's a beautiful high-end homes and condos. And she was there and she looked out, and she was sitting on her lanai, looking out, having coffee one morning, and she looked up, and crawling along the edge of the lanai, trying to find a way in, was an 11-foot-long python. So they have them. I've talked to other people down there who have been driving down the roads, and they have stretched across both lanes of Alligator Alley down there. So the Florida wildlife officials trying to do something to control these things. 61 of them caught so far, and they're hoping that they get more of them. One more story this week from RV News. This comes from my pal Greg Gerber from RV Daily News. And Greg has a very interesting opinion piece about Camping World, and particularly Camping World CEO Marcus Lemonis. Now, you have seen Marcus, right? On TV, he does that show, The Prophet. And he's got a bunch of spin-off shows now that he has just announced. And he's becoming quite a media celebrity in and of himself. And what Greg is wondering about is if perhaps he's dividing his energy so much that Good Sam, the RV camping group, is getting short shrift from the CEO. Let me read you from Greg's column in RV Daily News. He says, in the Bible, Jesus warns his followers, no servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And Greg says, he noted that Lemonis has announced The Prophet would become the professor and create a business-oriented educational program for students. And he started another reality show trying to find somebody to help run all of those different things. And what Greg is noting is that with all this attention focused on building his Hollywood career, is it any surprise that the company for which he is paid to serve as chief executive officer, Camping World and Good Sam Enterprises, confirmed over the weekend that the firm would not conduct a rally this year? This is really big news for Good Sam. Camping World Good Sam Rally has been shelved for 2016. Lemonis didn't bother to explain why. And it's the second time in 3 years that they have canceled the rally. So that's a pretty amazing thing. And what makes this announcement so sad is that this is the 50th anniversary of the Good Sam Club. And this rally has traditionally been very popular, highly attended, a major consumer event for RVers. Greg notes that he's sure that RV members were hoping the company would host a big shindig to mark the 50th anniversary. But as Greg says, Emperor Lemonis seems too busy, with the other things he wants to serve than to take care of Camping World. Anyway, it's an interesting piece. I'll put a link on our website so you can read Greg's entire piece. But for you Camping World people who like those rallies, there isn't going to be one this year. If you want to go to one, I'll tell you one that you should sign up. I've been talking about a lot. Jennifer and I will be there March 17th, Perry, Georgia, Family Motor Coach Family Reunion. This is a big one, 100 different seminars. I'm going to be doing one with Jennifer on downsizing. For those of you who have big Class A or Class C RVs and are wondering, is there an easier way to get around? You want to attend that seminar. We're going to show you what it's like living in a Class B in our road trek, and kind of tell you, this is a big trend, a lot of people downsizing. And then we're going to also do a seminar about our style of travel, which we call serendipity travel, where we don't go with reservations. We don't go with a detailed itinerary. We have an idea where we want to go, but we kind of just go free and easy, and we'll show you how well that works out and give you some tips on how to maximize it if you want to travel the way we do. But that's at the Family Motor Coach Association. It's 100 different vendors there, 100 different seminars, great entertainment, lots of fun. And what I really like about the FMCA rally is that it is RVers from every different type of RV, from Class A's, Class B's, Class C's, fifth wheels. They even have fifth wheels at the Family Motor Coach Association. I saw them. I know there's a few there. And it's just a great place for people to come and get to know each other. And lots of people, major big rally. And this one's coming up on March 17th. I'll put a link on the show notes episode for this if you want to check it out. But Jennifer, I'd love to meet you. We'll be hanging out near the FMCA booth there. And if you're looking for us, just ask. If we're not there, they'll tell you what time we'll be back. And we'd love to shake your hand, get a chance to meet you and hear about your travels. So that's at the FMCA rally in March. And since there's not going to be a Good Sam rally, many of you Good Sam people, you may want to come by and take a trip with us, meet us, and get a chance to have some fun with everybody. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. Aldi is the only name that you need to know in heat when you're selecting a heating system for your RV. Because the Aldi system is hydronic, and that means it brings you so many features and benefits that you can't find with another product. That's what we have in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. And I'm telling you, we love this heat. It's a silent heat. None of that, you know, that annoying fan that comes on all the time. It's very silent. It's actually the same kind of heat we have in our home, which is hot water heat. And that's what hydronic means, heated with water or with water. And this silent radiant heat from Aldi provides this warm, even, natural, heated interior, extremely comfortable. Your pets will love it. It's also great for humans. You don't get dry, you know, like you do with that forced air gas heating. The other thing about the Aldi is it gives you increased interior space because it's essentially combining two systems in one, your hot water heater and also your regular air heater in the vehicle. It's very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and that means it's going to extend the life of your propane. It will probably extend it about 40% over forced air. It's great. There's so many options. We have the heated floor option, and I just can't tell you how nice that is on cool mornings in the spring, in the fall, and even, yes, we do winter camping, and boy, is that nice, that heated floor when you get up in the middle of the night. So give them a call. You can check it out, or just check with your dealer. Go to your dealer, because Aldi is available on many different RVs, Road Treks among them, and that's the one you want. It's the only heating system you need to know for your RV. Check it out. A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Okay, you're going to want to take these down or go to the website because I just did a story on them this week and you can find the story there. But I'll pass along because a lot of you listen to the podcast and don't necessarily check the blog every day. So this is one. These are three apps that you got to have. You just got to have them. It has to do with fuel pricing. Now, fuel prices have not been this low in years, but there's still, and that, of course, is great for the RV industry because it's spurring lots of RV sales. But there is still a major disparity between pricing. How many times have you gone to a fuel station and found, you know, you bought your gas there or your fuel there and you went up the road another 2 miles and you found it much cheaper? Well, to help you out with that, I've got three apps you got to check. And these are my three gas price apps. They're all linked on the show notes page for this episode. Just go to roadtrekking.com/73. First one is one that's, I think, the most famous, the most popular. It's an old favorite. It's still been around. It's still around, and I think it's the best. Gas Buddy, all one word, Gas Buddy. It gives you, I think, the most up-to-date gas prices you'll find wherever you may be in the U.S., and I really like the fact that it also does Canada. Gas Buddy relies on users, and that's the secret to them, to update the prices. And then users are encouraged to do that because they have a chance to win $100 every day when they add a price. So you really have an up-to-date list. It gives you a map, so you can pull it up and see where you are, and it shows you the lowest prices. It's very easy to use. It's free. Works pretty much on every platform, iOS, Android, BlackBerry, whatever. You know, Windows, check it out. It works on all of those phones. Another one I like a lot is called Gas Guru. And this is pretty handy to have. It gives you the lowest prices, but also the closest gas prices. It uses that location checking device that's built into your smartphone or your tablet. And with Gas Guru, you can even search for the lowest fuel prices based on what kind of fuel, like diesel, or what kind of grade of gasoline you want. And that is a big help for those of us who don't want to pull off the freeway to find a gas-only station. That's my biggest pet peeve. Sometimes I'll pull over and I'll run into a station and they don't have any diesel. Been there, done that. And that's why I like Gas Guru. You can search using a list that you can set up, and you can view the app's map to see your options. It's free, works with Android or iOS.
Also with the Apple Watch, which is kind of cool. So Gas Guru is the second one. And here's the third one. This is for Android only. This, again, uses that location detection feature in your smartphone. It's called Fuel Finder, and it will show you the closest gas stations. It will also show you how much you can expect to pay at each of them. And it, too, includes a map to make finding stations a breeze. You can find stations that also have an ATM or a car wash available. I've tried this app a few times. I've found it does a great job, even though it's not free. This app cost $1.99 for Android. As part of the podcast, brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Have you heard? Verizon recently launched a new program that is making it easier for active duty service members and veterans to stay connected with their friends and family. If you got somebody in your family that's in the active duty military, listen up. Now, current, former, and retired members of the military get a 15% discount on postpaid monthly wireless service. Verizon's automatically applying the discount to more than 100,000 eligible accounts that are already identified as those of current and former military men and women. And that's a pretty good savings. And in addition to that 15% discount on monthly wireless plans, Verizon offers servicemen and women a 25% discount on accessories like chargers, cases, extended batteries, and a 12% off on select calling features like international travel to Mexico and Canada, Hum by Verizon, and Tech Coach. Hey, by the way, I go to Canada a lot. I visit the Kitchener factory of Road Trek, and I am really delighted with this. For I think it's like $2 a day. There's a feature, you got to go to your Verizon account, but for $2 a day, if you're going into Canada, you can activate it. Those of you in the U.S. going into Canada, you can activate it. And you don't get charged for your data charges. Yeah, just $2 a day, standard. That's a really handy feature. Check that out. I don't think there's a similar one yet for Canadians coming to the U.S., but if there is, I'll let you know. Anyway, to learn if you're eligible about this military discount, just visit your local Verizon retailer or go to verizonwireless.com/news, verizonwireless.com/news, and they'll give you more information about this. And you can visit roadtrekking.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Yeah, we got fresh content on that blog every single day. So make sure you check it out. And also, we have a free newsletter, and you can learn about that, too. We send that out every Monday. So lots of ways to stay informed what's happening in RV. You're going to like this segment now, because one thing we all have in common is the need to, well, be a little better organized in our RV and save space. Well, joining me now on the program is a great guest, Gail Alexander of RVSpaceSavers.com. Gail and her husband Mike and their toy poodle Coco travel across the U.S. to RV rallies and shows. They sell space-saving products for RVers, but she also does a lot of seminars on space-saving tips and ideas for small spaces. And in this interview, she shares her five top tips for saving space in an RV. Gail Alexander joins us right now. Hi, Gail. Great to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for inviting me to talk about saving space in RVs.
Well, there's probably no more topic that keeps us up late at night is trying to figure out how to maximize that space. And you are the expert on this. You do seminars, I know, all over the place and have helped many RVers. And I thought on the podcast you could help us come across some tips on what we can do. Start us out. Give us maybe your top five tips if you think of it.
Okay. Well, number one is organize and purge, purge, purge.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself three questions. Do you love it? Do you use it? And how often will you need to use it?
Hmm. Give me an idea of what some of those things that you may want to purge are that as you talk to people.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you the numbers of people who say, oh, I want to take my bread maker, or, oh, I took my bread maker along, or I took my sewing machine, thinking that, you know, I may want to hem some jeans or whatever the case may be. Well, how many times are you going to bake bread realistically?
That's right.
How many times are you going to drag that sewing machine out to hem a pair of pants or mend a seam just because those are things you did in your sticks and bricks? More than likely, you're not going to be doing them in an RV.
You know, I hear a lot of men say, I'm going to bring an electric saw, and I want to, you know, all the tools that men tend to want to have around them all the time. And there just isn't room. And I think it applies to that. Now, you mentioned organize, 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 and then purge, purge, purge. So let's go to the organize part. What are some of the things that we can do there?
Okay, so things that you can do there are take all your cereal out of boxes. Anything that are in boxes, remove them from boxes.
Hmm.
And they take up way less room. Boxes don't weigh anything. Food boxes don't really weigh anything. So it's not the weight, but it's the space that they take up, that you can open up a box of, say, pancake mix or cereal, either one. And when you open it up, once you've opened up the package inside, there's a whole ton of wasted space inside that box.
Hmm. So what would you put it in?
Of my next tips is always use flat-sided boxes, baskets, tubs, whatever. And the flatter the side, the more space you are saving.
Flat side.
Mm-hmm. What I tell people to do is put your cereal or your pasta or flour or whatever it is in Ziploc bags and then stack them in baskets.
Baskets, the kind that you could pick up at a Walmart or a Bed Bath and Beyond, something like that.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
That's what you want, and always look for straight-sided things.
All right. I'm making a note of all this, and I'm going to hand to Jennifer and me, I guess. All right. So we organize, we purge, we use flat-sided boxes and tubs and baskets. Keep going. These are great tips.
Okay. Roll everything you can roll. Whether it be your clothes, whether it be your towels and washcloths, whether it be your underwear, anything you can roll saves space.
Hmm. I never thought of that. So you can then stack those things up too in cupboards as well, I suppose.
Right. Right. In fact, we were at the park that we're at now. We're in Palm Desert. And we pulled in here this last spring sometime, and some people, we had been here for a while, and some people pulled in next to us, and she said, oh, I know you. You're that space-saving lady. And I said, yes, I am. And she said, oh, my husband and I went to one of your seminars and absolutely loved it. And she hollers at him and said, Hank or Harry or whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. She said, the space-saving lady's right next to us. And he came around and said, I went home and I rolled all my clothes after we went to your seminar, and they're still like that. He said, I still roll them, and I can't believe how much less space they take up.
Do they tend to wrinkle more when you roll them?
No, they do not. In fact, they tend to wrinkle less.
Really?
If you do a good job of rolling them after you have folded them to start to roll.
Well, that's a great tip then. So roll the clothes and your towels. What other things can we do? These are great.
Yeah, that's a good one. In fact, even if you are traveling somewhere, I'm a girl who, if I'm flying somewhere, if I can't carry it in my hot little hand, I won't take it. I will never check baggage. And I can get way more things in a suitcase, a carry-on suitcase, by rolling them than you ever can by folding them.
I have to admit, we have never tried that. And we're going to do that our very next trip. I think that is a great idea. All right, those are three. How about a couple more tips on space-saving tips for our RV from Gail Alexander, okay, the space saver lady.
One of the other huge space-saving ideas is start reading on your electronic devices, whether it be an e-book, whether it be your smartphone, whatever kinds of electronic devices you have, start reading on them and stop purchasing books.
Yeah.
or getting books. Most RV parks have libraries, take one, leave one kind of thing. And those things not only take up space, but they take up a lot of weight.
They do. And magazines are another thing. And those are so widely available online. So you can put them on your Kindle or your Nook or your iPhone or your tablet or your Android. That's one tip I have to say I have done pretty well. I probably have 500 books on my tablets, but it'd be a full library, but there's no weight to them. A lot of people
right.
say, you know, oh, I miss the feel, the tactile feel of a book. And that's true, I suppose, but my goodness, they take up a lot of room. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm glad to hear you say that.
And they are so heavy. They are so heavy.
All right, so read electronically, not on paper. What else?
Okay, replace things as you find them with collapsible and foldable space-saving products.
Hmm.
And that's how we even got started doing this, Mike. We took things out of our home like everybody does. You know, I needed a couple of bowls, and I needed a couple of this and that, and I needed some measuring cups and whatever. And we had our motor home just stuffed full of things that we thought we needed or did need. But I don't do well in disorganization, and I know that about myself. And so I had to find some solutions, and I began to do research and began to find collapsible products that save tons of space, like bowls, as for instance, or refrigerator storage containers that are collapsible and save space. And so there are getting to be more and more things out there like that. And so we are always searching and researching products on and carrying them only if they work good for us. We sell nothing on our website that we don't use in our own motor. And so those are things that you can do as you find them. You know, did we do it all at once? Absolutely not. We did not. We found them little by little and piece by piece.
Mm. And
so they not only save space, but they also save weight. A collapsible bowl is going to weigh a lot less than a ceramic or glass bowl out of your kitchen, for instance.
I'm looking on your site, RV Space Savers. I see you have collapsible 3-quart bowls. You have collapsible produce keepers. So there really are quite a few things out there that will really help you save those rooms. And they're available. I will put a link on our show notes page here to RV. If you want to just go to it, folks, it's rvspacesavers.com. All one word. You can't miss it. But Gail, now you do seminars all across the country. Where can people see you in the next year or so as they get ready for their traveling and wondering where they should go? Is there any particular ones that you have booked already, or are we too early in the season?
Well, we just finished Western Area FMCA rally in Indio, California.
Yeah.
And we will be moving up the coast. We will be doing a Good Sam rally in Lodi. We will be doing a Good Sam rally in Moses Lake, Washington. We'll be doing the Northwest FMCA rally in Albany, Oregon. We won't be going east this year because everything is so scattered out that they've got planned in the east. We'd have to spend all summer back there. And we have a granddaughter getting married in Seattle in August. So, of course, we wouldn't miss that for the world. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So our plans are to stay in the west this year.
A lot. And that's great because so many people from the east head west every summer. So all they have to do is check out those upcoming RV shows and they'll be able to see Gail Alexander. Gail, when you do those seminars, I know you did demonstrations as well, but what's perhaps the most popular of all the demonstrations you do? What do people talk about the most when you show them how to save space?
Well, I never give the same seminar twice.
Yeah.
So, as for instance, down here at this FMCA rally, we've been here 4 years in a row, and so I give two seminars each rally, and they're two different seminars because I've got tips, Mike, that I could, like I told you, I could stand up there and give people tips all day. And so it seems to us that everyone is hungry for ways to save space. And so I want to continue to give them other information. So if you come and listen to one of my seminars or both of them at a rally, and I see you again next year at that same rally, I want you to feel like you can come back to my seminars and learn something altogether different than what you learned last year.
Mm. So I'm looking at your website and some of the things. I notice you have a lot of hanging spice racks that can do double duty. They take away that inside a cupboard door, for example, which is wasted space. There you have a hanging spice rack, and you don't have those spice bottles and jars all clanging around inside. I'm looking at, again, those collapsible bowls. And I think those are all the things that people are going to be able to get on your website and just browse around and see. And also, like you say, to take advantage of your seminars. And that's great. So many of those seminar presenters that you go to do the same seminar year after year after year. So I'm kind of glad. All right. Well, Gail Alexander, the RV Space Saver Lady, rvspacesavers.com is her website. And every one of us, no matter what size RV we have a problem with space, and we want to maximize it. And Gail, you are the person. So the best way for them to reach you is through your website. Is that correct?
That is correct. Or if they go on there, they can email me at info@rvspacesavers.com.
All right.
And I'm happy, I'm happy to help people if they have a particular problem that they're trying to solve or an issue that they can't seem to find a solution for. I have people come up to me in my seminars all the time saying, can you help me find this or that or whatever? So I'm more than happy to help people if they have some kind of issue they need a solution for. If I if I can find an answer, I'm happy to do that.
I will send it off to you, send them to you, info@rvspacesavers.com. Gail, it's been a delight. Thank you for sharing those five tips and more in this episode of the podcast. Gail Alexander, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, and safe travels to you and Jennifer.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, links and resources that we mentioned in this episode can be found on our show notes page. That's roadtrekking.com/73. Thanks so much for listening to us this week. Great tips from Gail Alexander. Thank you, Gail. And from all of you who send information and email, boy, it's a big encouragement to Jennifer and me as we travel. And we're just glad to know that somebody's out there. If you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of this podcast, boy, please do so. We love hearing from you and your real voice. You can record a voicemail message. Just click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com blog. It says leave voicemail. Click that. You use the microphone that's on your computer, and you can do it a couple of times till you're satisfied with it. When you're all done, you just click a button, and it will email it to me, and then I can use it on the podcast. Love to hear your voices. So questions, comments, your tips, send them in. We love to share them with our audience. Please do us a favor and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitchers. New episodes are released every Wednesday. Also, please do us a favor and leave us a review. We love those five-star reviews you've been giving us, and it helps us to get noticed in the very crowded travel blog category. I invite you to also join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. You can sign up right from the blog. And when you do, you get a free packing list for your next RV trip for doing so. So, thanks for listening to us, putting me in your ear. Till the next time, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. So long, everybody.